Welcome to the Genius Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Craig Shields, and welcome to the official Genius Podcast. Every 2 weeks, we'll explore the ins and outs of how to get more eyes on your business with marketing tips and solutions that are more than just the sum of their parts. Every episode, we'll speak to a range of experts from both inside the Genius family and from further afield. Please enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome back to the Genius Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Humphrey, Original Genius, and I am absolutely thrilled to be able to bring in today's guest, Ben from Enterprising PR. Hi, Ben.
Hello. Good morning.
How you doing?
Yes, good, thank you.
So, the clue's in the name, Enterprising PR, but perhaps you could give us a little bit more backstory on who you are and what you do so that the listeners know who is going to be helping them out with their work today. Yeah.
Yes, I'm an award-winning PR and communications practitioner with over 25 years' experience, predominantly in B2B corporate PR. I live and work from home in Hammersmith, West London, with my young family. I have two boys, aged 9 and 7. I set up as a sole practitioner back in 2016, not only because I had the knowledge and experience, but I wanted to deliver a highly personalised service to startups and SMEs to deliver what they need to help them grow without the overheads of a PR agency. After all, I've got many years experience in working for PR agencies, which is why I set up in the first place. I've handled PR for organizations big and small, from the likes of Royal Mail through to a digital marketing agency with like 2 or 3 employees. I like to do all the writing on behalf of my clients for the thought leadership, the blogs, the news releases, copy for news jumps, etc., so they can focus on their day job. I can target any trade media to support my clients' new business focus, for example, whether that be retail, property, technology, marketing services, you name it. I'm also a long-standing member of the Chartered Institute of Public Relations as well. In terms of PR, why it's important for businesses and what I offer is it's great at driving, raising awareness and driving credibility and trust to support your new business efforts. And with my PR services, I focus predominantly on media relations and earned media, which is much more credible than the likes of paid media, such as advertising, obviously being a third party there that aids with that, rather than knowing something that's been paid for, like a piece of advertising. So yeah, most of my media relations involves, as I said, thought leadership articles and blogs. I help come up with ideas, draft them on your behalf, get them published. These can be shared more widely on the likes of social media, and even email to your customers, prospects as well. It's a particular piece of coverage. I can help with news jumps, so I can draft commentary for on the back of a breaking news story, get your comments out there. I can help draft news releases, obviously a very important part of the PR process, on new client wins, new customers, new senior staff, white papers. I can help with profile building pieces as well, the likes of How I Made It in the Sunday Times, journalist contact management program. Obviously very important, building relationships with key journalists so they know what you talk about and in the future, and more amenable to thought leadership ideas, etc. How can I help with speaking events, case study writing, and also ideas for the likes of white papers, ebooks, reports, and finally, I guess, awards too. I can help draft award entries as well. So that's it in a nutshell.
Out of all of those wonderful, wonderful things, how, like, do your kids actually understand what you do? Because mine don't understand what I do.
I haven't a clue. No, I don't. They keep asking what I do. I sort of explain, I sort of write articles, really, but they don't really understand that, really. If I was an influencer on YouTube, they'd be a lot more impressed. or a gamer or something. But no, they're not really. They haven't a clue. I think my dad knows what I do because he used to work in advertising. But I don't think many other members of my family do particularly.
That's reassuring to know that I'm not alone. So let's get into the meat of what we're here to talk about. Obviously, you've got extensive experience in the B2B space. Looking at the average sort of B2B marketer at an SME, how should they be using and measuring their PR efforts?
Yeah, I mean, PR, like any marketing discipline, should ideally be used in conjunction with others, like digital marketing or advertising or events, for maximum impact. I mean, integrated marketing campaigns are always the strongest, deliver the best results, in my experience. You know, but however, for startups and SMEs with tight budgets, cost-effective PR, which, you know, it is pretty cost-effective compared to like advertising, you know, if implemented effectively, can play an important role in on its own in helping to drive awareness and support sales efforts, as well as, you know, help with the likes of attracting and retaining staff as well. So, you know, if prospective staff see you a lot in the media saying some interesting stuff, and they can see, you know, you're an organization to maybe go and work for, you have some opinions and maybe a couple of company going places. And PR, to be fair, has never been, in terms of measurement, it's always been a sticky thing for PR. It's never been easy to measure, particularly with regards to new business. It's virtually impossible, to state that an article has led to a piece of new business or new business inquiry unless, you know, the prospect who's got in touch with you actually volunteers the information to that effect, that he has seen an article and has come to you as a result of that article. But that's not really what PR is all about anyway. It's more about, it's not about direct sales leads. It's obviously nice if it does deliver the direct sales lead. It's more about awareness building and credibility building to support your wider new business efforts and wider marketing efforts as well. So the more the prospects see you via earned channels, the more likely they are to bear you in mind when they have a requirement for your services. Having said that, I have had instances when clients have said to me that an article has led to them receiving a new business inquiry. And once a field marketing agency that I work for told me that they once managed to convert a quarter of £1 million worth of new business on the back of a news story I got out on their behalf. I should have asked for
permission
on that or something. And so that's quite nice to get that. I do say to clients too, it's good to ask your clients in terms of, you know, where you've come from. If they haven't come for your website or anything like that, you know, it's good to ask them, you know, where that business inquiry has come from. It's always a good thing. In terms of helping clients with the sort of the likes of the SEO and measurements, I'm always looking to include sort of keywords in articles. I think most PRs now try and include keywords and web links, backlinks back to their clients' website where possible. And you can clients can actually measure, you know, where visitors are coming from. Sometimes if an article is published, a thought leadership article is published, clients can see if there's like an uptick of maybe hits on their website once that article has been published. You can also measure the number of times an article has been shared on the likes of social media too. In terms of measurement, I always kind of set KPIs, key performance indicators, when I work with a client. That's the best way I do measure what I offer in terms of. So I'll, for example, say if you pay me, you know, 3 days a month, I would look to maybe get 3 thought leadership articles a quarter, a couple of news releases drafted a quarter. Maybe one journalist meeting or one news jump. So that's kind of how I would sort of slice and dice it, and then review that at the end of the quarter and make, you know, with regard to any learnings, and then maybe look to tweak the KPIs at the end of that quarter. I also provide the likes of circulation details to likes of website visits with regard to the client, with the coverage I send through to my clients. So, you know, they're well aware in terms of the offerings I'm delivering, and also with improvements in technology, AI is going to be taking a bigger role with PR, particularly in terms of measuring sentiment and things like that.
Fab, thank you. And you have very neatly led me into my next question. Now, we know that marketers at startups, scale-ups, SMEs, they tend to be quite compact teams, not necessarily got a specialist for every single discipline, and that leads to having to outsource some of these specialist skills, and PR is one of them. But have you got any advice on how a marketer should choose a good PR partner in the first place and what sort of thing they should expect from them?
Yeah. First of all, they should look at the partnership section of the We Are Genius website. Only joking, well, you should look there too. It's a good place to start. Look out for my logo. Use word of mouth, ask journalists who work in your sector who they recommend. Obviously, do some research on the likes of LinkedIn as well. That's a, you know, good place to find people. And then, you know, once you are speaking to potential PR partners, you know, find out what are the expertise they have in the sectors that you're targeting. Ask to see testimonials from their clients, case studies, maybe recent coverage they've had published on behalf of their clients. Do they show an interest, passion in your business? I mean, I'm saying that because sometimes, certainly if you employ an agency or some bigger agency, you know, they'll bring a senior team in to lead the pitch process, and they might show some passion, but you might end up working with an inexperienced team members when it comes to the day-to-day running of the account. So you might buy into a senior team and then be left with a slightly more junior team that you weren't really quite expecting. So, you know, do bear that in mind. Always look to see, you know, do they set, you know, in terms of measurement, they set KPIs up front so you can be sure what you'll be getting for your spend. That's very important, as I've already touched on. And, you know, do they have processes in place for sort of regular communications, reporting, so you are, you know, in the loop in terms of what's going on. I always look to provide, you know, fortnightly catch-up calls with an agenda, so, you know, client knows what I'm doing. And I'm pretty much in contact with clients at least every other day, if not every day, at least on email, with various opportunities and commentary and ideas. Monthly reports and QSRs, quarterly strategy reviews, obviously very important. I've already touched on. And with monthly reports, I always put together a report in terms of what I've been doing over the calendar month and what I'm doing, looking ahead to do in the next calendar month. And the QSR, again, you know, review the last quarter, have I hit my KPIs? What are my learnings and observations from working with you for the last quarter? What do I suggest that we should be doing for the next quarter? What maybe article angles we should be looking at? Things like that, maybe a white paper, I don't know, maybe something a bit different. So yeah, that's kind of how you should know the kind of things you should look for when, you know, looking to find a PR partner.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. Now, when we get a specialist like you onto the podcast, we tend to ask you if you've got any hot tips that, you know, if for instance, marketers in a position where they can't have a PR partner, they've got to do it themselves, what are your kind of key tips for not making a complete hash of this?
I would say, you know, it's always best to, I mean, PR is not rocket science. At the end of the day, it's a lot of it, you know, writing and relationships and relationship building. And but you need to have to really have the knowledge and experience behind it, really, to make it work. I mean, you can set aside a few hours a week, maybe, to an AI tool is getting quite clever, particularly with regards to news releases. You can probably put together not a brilliant news release using a piece of AI like Copy AI and others and ChatGPT, but they're still, I think, in their infancy when it comes to sort of writing decent copy that people are actually going to engage with. So, I mean, it's a case of, I would say this, but, you know, I think if you're going to take PR seriously as part of the marketing mix, you need to really employ an experienced professional who can help you generate the most value out of it, leaving you to focus on your day job, which is obviously running your business, getting those leads in, converting your clients, customers. And I, you know, with PR too, it's important to remember it's a bit like a leaky tap. You can't sort of turn it. You can't think, oh, I'll do this for a few weeks and they'll be fine. The leads will be coming through. It's like I always give the example of a leaky tap. It should be dropping. You should be constantly leaking out messages, whether that's through own media, through the likes of thought leadership articles, blogs, news stories, news releases, maybe news jumps, etc. Commentary of news jumps. So people can, you know, constantly see you out there when they're doing a Google search or looking or reading the trade media. You know, they you know, you'll be back of their brain, back of their mind when they're looking to hopefully employ a new customer or a new supplier. So yeah, I would really bear that in mind with regards to PR. I'm trying to waffle on there.
it's all right. This is the problem when you've got so much in your head. It's like, well, what are the most important things that I can tell them? Because I could talk to them for hours. Maybe you ought to do a training course. But I wanted to just touch on something quite lighthearted to finish, really. When we first met, I said, you are literally the least ab-fab PR person I've ever met. So I was curious to see if there were any other myths that you want to bust about PR, perceptions people have of PR that are just not true.
Yeah, I mean, I guess when people think of public relations, they either think of absolutely fabulous. Is it Edina? I can't speak of them. Speaking too long, she always been doing nothing but sort of having lunches and champagne and going out and about. Or people think of like Peter Mandelson and the dark arts of political PR. And yeah, I guess, I mean, there's a, it's neither really of those, at least not for me anyway. I'm maybe in the wrong job, the wrong part of the section of PR. But no, it's much more than that. It's, I mean, obviously in the olden days, there were more journalists around. Journalists had more time to speak to you. There were more face-to-face meetings. I mean, face-to-face meetings have already touched on are still very important. But with, you know, with cutbacks, particularly on titles, on publishing houses, meetings happen, but less frequently. And usually it's a coffee around the corner near their office, or it's on Zoom. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of hard work in the background that you don't really see. There's lots of research in terms of for ideas for articles, and lots of research in terms of how you approach journalists, in terms of who they are, what they do, and what kind of articles they've written in the past. You can't sort of, gone are the days of just sort of emailing out a huge list of journalists with a news release. It's more than that. You need to take time to think and see you're going to pitch to, as well as in terms of the angle too. What's the angle that's going to stand out? And you can't just because you've got a fancy new shiny new service and think everybody's going to be excited by it. Unfortunately, they're usually not going to be excited by it. So you need to think carefully about whether it's going to make a news release, it's going to be worth sharing, even for just maybe it's for your information journalist, or whether it should be something you should be just be sharing on social media. It's something I can help advise with there. But yeah, I mean, as I say, when Bill Gates, Microsoft once famously said, you know, if I was down to my last dollar, I'd spend it on public relations. And that's a quote that a lot of us in PR like using. And I would say that's a good thing to bear in mind, really, as I sort of finish here. I mean, it does deliver a lot of value. In the 25 years I've worked in PR, I've seen it deliver a lot of value for my clients in terms of, as I say, in terms of just helping to really drive their awareness, helping to drive credibility and trust in their brand, in their business, and really help raise their profile. And as I say, overall, well, I can't guarantee that employing me will definitely lead to loads of new business for you. It'll certainly help drive and support your other marketing and sales efforts in terms of helping support your new business efforts. There's no doubt about it. So yeah, do your research, you know, in terms of when you're looking for a PR person, you know, do they, as I said, basically what I've just said here really, in terms of how to find them, and yeah, get in touch with them, and yeah, good luck with your PR.
That's fab. Thank you so much, Ben. I really do appreciate you spending the time with us. I can sense from the recording that you've got so much more to offer people in terms of insights and information. So if people want to find out more about you, connect with you, how do they do that?
Yeah, well, I've got my website, enterprisingpr.co.uk. Go on LinkedIn, Ben Powell on LinkedIn. I'm on there. Or speak to, I guess, yourself, Emma or Philippa at Genius. We are Genius. And yeah, it'd be great to connect and have a chat.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Ben, thank you so much. That's us signing off for this episode of the Genius Podcast.
For more information on this subject, please do check out the link in the description and join us again on the Genius Podcast in a couple of weeks' time, where we'll be joined by another brand new guest who will be exploring a different topic, giving you expert insight, advice, and tips. We'll see you then.
Thank you for listening to the Genius Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe on your podcast platform of choice and share it with your friends. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time for our next episode. We'll